He needed a sure presence above him. Without it, I think Sherman was tormented by doubts and demons that severely compromised his efforts. Grant's unswerving expectation of victory, I think, inspired Sherman. Grant always seemed certain that victory eventually would come. Sherman's own mood shifted regularly from elation to despondency. But having Grant over him allowed Sherman to pursue Grant's strategic designs with absolute confidence. Sherman, whose letters are among the best written by any figure, North or South, military or non-military, he got at this element of their relationship very well in a letter that he wrote to Grant, recalling their campaigns in 1862-63. He said, "I knew wherever I was that you thought of me, and if I got in a tight place, you would come if alive." Without the reassuring presence of someone like Grant, Sherman's record had been far less successful. Indeed, his early life and pre-war career inspire comparison with Grant's in terms of their repeated failures. Now, Sherman, like Grant, did go to West Point. He graduated from West Point. He didn't get into active service in the war with Mexico, however, as so many of his peers did. He was tall and slender, had red hair, never really cared what it looked like. It usually looked like he hadn't run a comb through it. He had been raised as the ward of a prominent and wealthy politician, Whig Senator Thomas Ewing of Lancaster, Ohio. Sherman's father died in 1829 when Sherman was 9 years old. His mother had 11 children, couldn't afford to rear all of them, and so shipped William Tecumseh, Cump as he went by, off to live with the Ewings. He was a brilliant young man, had a wide-ranging mind, very widely read, curious intellectually about a range of things, very polished in conversation, and very polished with his pen. He resigned from the Army in the early 1850s, moved to California to try his hand in banking, and was caught by the economic panic of 1857, a very bad financial period for him. By 1859, he considered himself a failure. As he wrote that year, "I look upon myself as a dead cock in the pit." And yet 1859 proved to be a year when he found something he did like to do. He was named to be the head of a new military college in Louisiana, the forerunner of what is now Louisiana State University, and he found that a very congenial post. He loved the South. He got along with white Southerners very well. He had no problem with slavery. But he did have a problem with secession, and when secession came, he left Louisiana, and he offered his services to the United States government. Fought at first Bull Run, then went out west, and had essentially a breakdown as the Union commander in Kentucky. He preceded Don Carlos Buell. In the fall of 1861, he saw enemies all around him, Confederate enemies, magnified the size of Confederate forces, and in essence panicked, and then proved completely incapable of carrying out his duties effectively. The Cincinnati Commercial ran a headline that labeled Sherman insane. Sherman wrote to his brother at this time, "I'm so sensible now of my disgrace that I do not think I should, I'm so sensible now of my disgrace that I do think I should have committed suicide were it not for my children." That is Sherman early in the war. His salvation proved to be Ulysses S. Grant. He was placed under Grant, saw after the Battle of Shiloh that Grant took the heat for poor Union dispositions, that Grant was willing to step forward and be the strong commander, and that made all the difference to William Tecumseh Sherman. Sherman fought under Grant's general guidance for virtually the remainder of the war, during the long Vicksburg campaign at Chattanooga, and then as an Army commander in 1864 and 1865. Came out of the war as second only to Grant in the Northern military pantheon, and succeeded Grant as the ranking officer in the United States Army when Grant went to the White House after being elected in 1868. My point is that Sherman was really only the figure we think of him as being during the war, this great general, this great successful general, because of Grant. Grant was steady, reticent, self-assured. Sherman was brilliant, volatile, self-critical. Together they formed, as I said earlier, the greatest military partnership of the war. Lee and Jackson are the other great partnership, but Sherman and Grant worked on a broader strategic scale than Lee and Jackson did.